Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
So we're having to do things a little differently.
So did you turn that down? Wasn't that us? Sorry, maybe I just don't know what you did over there.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was an ad, right?
Yeah. It's the it's just that. That's all it is for us right now.
Okay.
So whenever the whenever that comes up, I have to do a thing, and whenever it's time to come back, I have to do a thing. And so you're just gonna hear weird things. So bear with us, guys. It's only for today. So we're back. 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's me, Bonnie.
And me, Mark.
Hey, me, Mark.
Me, Mark.
Mark. Right? Not meme Mark?
Magic Mark.
Magic.
I always laugh because in that commercial he says, email me, Mark.
Me, Mark.
There's probably no resolution for that either. Like, am I Mark or M-Y-M-E? Is it, yeah. We've had quite a day, the folks here in the Free Talk Live studio, as Ian Freeman was sentenced to 8 years.
Yep.
For the crime of selling Bitcoin to willing customers.
I think one thing that I haven't asked is how long is Ian going to do on that? People want to know that.
Yeah.
That's one of the first questions. As though anybody has an answer.
Well, everybody has answers, right?
Well, did tell me that just by looking at the guidelines for good time, which she apparently has access to looking at that, she did some math, and she came up with about four and a half to 5 years.
Now, the one thing I don't know in that 4.5 to 5 years, is that another 2 years off for, say, work release? Where after, like, let's say 3 years, Ian goes to work release, and that does say 2 years in work release, and then is released.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
She said that is worst case scenario. That's, like, that's only good time. Oh, wait. That's only the FSA credit, whatever that means. I think that's what it is. Yeah. But it's this new thing that came out, and that's, like, without good time. So that's worst case scenario.
It's
like,
the prison social's credit score?
There's a new thing. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's FSA. And basically they give you this... after a certain amount of time that Aria was in, she got some kind of, like, equation she could use, and it tells her how much time is getting cut off. They're taking off, like, basically a third of most prison sentences now. And so Aria did that calculation on Ian's and basically said even if he didn't get any good time, he didn't get any kind of deals in general that you can use to get the time off, the worst-case scenario would be 5 years.
Right.
With that new law.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not, I've never been to prison. I've never been sentenced to anything that carried a prison sentence. So I don't know. I know a few people who've been. Generally, people who've been, they don't really want to talk about it much when they come out.
And it feels like everybody has such different stories. It's like, what your experience, it may vary.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the number one thing about prison is not wanting to be there.
Right.
You just want to go.
Right.
And that mostly, I spent 8.5 years in a Florida State prison, and I've got some whoppers, right? I can tell you the time about the time that Johnny Augustine bit the ear off of a dude at the racquetball courts, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you, when Donald McDougal, when I heard about Donald McDougal getting his head beat in with the pole from a horseshoe pit.
Like a train track stake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like I said, some whoppers. But this was over the course of 8.5 years, month upon month upon month, the boring same old stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's really mostly what it's like. Now, Ian's not likely to go to a place. I mean, I was in prison until the Florida Supreme was released by an order of the Florida Supreme Court. I was in prison for murder.
Right.
And they never claimed that I killed anybody. They're just saying, oh, well, you're too close and stuff.
Yeah. You were nearby, therefore guilty.
And, but in Ian's case, There's no victim. There's no violent crime. There's no victim, you know, things like
that. Well, and I'm not really speaking to, like, the prison experience so much as the question of, you know, how does one get sentenced to X amount of time, and then how does one get out before that amount of time has expired, right? What is the calculation? What behaviors do you need to exhibit in order to acquire this, whatever it is, this good time or whatever?
I can tell you what it was like for me. So, for instance, we had things called disciplinary reports. And a disciplinary report would affect your game time. A CC, which was a correctional consultation, was kind of like a warning ticket, and a DR, disciplinary report, was a ticket.
Okay.
And so the DR would stop all game time for that month and the month after.
What's game time?
Extra time that is not day for day.
So this is like
it's
so
a good thing.
If you get these good marks, then you get like a reduced day on your sentence or something
right.
along those lines?
It depends on all kinds of sentencing calculations and that sort of thing.
Oh, wait, sorry, I guess I did misunderstand. So DRs and CCs are bad?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
They're like write-ups at your employer.
Right.
They give you a warning.
By default, you get the gain time.
Yep.
If you get the ticket, then
it
you don't.
It pauses your gain time. So gain time is good, is what I meant.
Yeah. Okay.
And in Ian's case, I don't expect... Ian didn't have any problem the previous times he's been in jail. He's not going to have any problems otherwise.
He just doesn't have problems. Like his prosecution... not prosecution. The probation officers like him. Everybody likes him.
I just had... I'm not going to say the best thought. It's really not. But I just had a thought that made me smile for the first time all day today. Dear government... Putting Ian in a prison is only going to give Ian a bunch of people to convert to libertarianism.
Right, the last people you want converted, convicts.
It just occurred to me that, like, Ian's going to go in there and people are going to, you know, they're going to get to know him and he's going to get to know them and he is going to be able to describe his philosophies, you know, exactly the way they are. And
he's going to have plenty of time.
He's going to have plenty of time. He's going to have access to a library, reference materials, all that kind of stuff, law libraries and all that kind of stuff. It occurs to me that the government may have just, sort of sealed their own deal by putting him amongst people who are probably the most receptive to hear about how bad the state is.
More people may become libertarian voluntarists because of this.
Right.
And today my sister said, honestly, after watching this, all this stuff happen, I just want to buy Bitcoin more. I want to get I want to start buying Bitcoin with my new paycheck.
Yeah. And far outside and right on. That's the thing about Bitcoin. Governments can target individuals. Governments can target, we'll call it terrestrial businesses, right? Anybody that's, you know, signed up for a business license or an EIN number, that kind of thing. They can target those things. They can target exchanges, which is a business, also run by individuals. But what they can't do is target Bitcoin itself. Right, they've been trying for a long time. If you think that it's just the FBI going after like Bitcoin dealers, trying to like set an example, that is what they're trying to do. Yes, but that's not all they're trying to do. Governments around the world and individual hackers and nefarious people have all been attacking Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency. None of them have succeeded. The only success anybody's ever had around Bitcoin comes from what they call social engineering, right?
Yeah.
Where, somebody pretends like they're you or somebody figures out, you know, you posted something, you answered one of those stupid Facebook posts about like, hey, where were you born? And what was the name of your first dog? And like all the questions like your bank is supposed to ask you. If you respond to any of that online, you're getting scammed, right? Somebody's trying to figure out what your password is and they're trying to hack you. That's the only success anybody's ever had. They're only able to hack individuals by either guessing or social engineering themselves into a position where people believe that they're the rightful owner of like a wallet or something like that. So Bitcoin itself has never successfully been attacked.
It's true. And it couldn't be.
Right. And the government knows this.
So
I think.
I did think of another thing that was huge today. Really quick. Happened really quick. But it's a new development. So far, the prosecution has asserted that the Shire Free Church was not real. and the judge hasn't commented on it. But today, the judge said that he tends to agree that the Shire Free Church is not real.
Wow, I missed that.
I didn't hear that part.
He said that today.
I will look for that in the transcript whenever it becomes available.
He said, basically, the prosecution alleges that he says that he was doing things under the auspice of a church, but the prosecution alleges that it was business, and I tend to agree. It's not a church. It's a business. So
I remember him saying something about the business. I must have missed the context of his answer there.
So his opinion on it isn't a ruling, to be clear. That's not the judge saying, a judge that has any ability to say the Shire Free Church doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's not some,
The one guy who could say, testified during Ian's trial and said, Ian's church is a church. That is a New Hampshire bureaucrat that came up there.
Right.
And whereas the judge could say...
Wait, who said that? Sorry?
A New Hampshire bureaucrat. I don't know.
Yeah, the representative from New Hampshire who said, yep, this is how you make a church in New Hampshire, and yep, Ian filled out the paperwork.
Oh, we had that? I don't remember that.
At Ian's trial, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I just forgot that.
Yeah, that occurred. And now, the judge could say that these actions that were taken under the umbrella of the church were inappropriately applied to the church and should have been called business or something like that.
Right.
And like, this wasn't a ruling, so the verbiage doesn't matter. But I'm just saying that there's nothing wrong with the Shire Free Church. Shire Free Church exists.
Right.
It doesn't change anything in my life, but it's just... Yeah.
And even if governments, like, burned up the paperwork, the Shire Free Church would still exist.
Yeah.
Right? It exists because you say it does and because it has participants.
And let's not forget that this courtroom was full of people. People who were cheering for Ian when he walked into the room. People who believe very firmly in the same moral code that Ian espouses. Now, some of them would say they're church members. Some of them would say, I don't know what church you're talking about. But that's kind of the point of the Shire Free Church all along.
Yeah.
The Shire Free Church the intention of the Shire Free Church isn't to have a bunch of members or for you to know what it is. The purpose of the Shire Free Church is that you follow its moral code. And if you're following the moral code of not initiating violence against other people, well, then success, the Shire Free Church is doing what it wants to do. Like, I don't need a steeple. I don't need you to love Shire Free Church. I don't need you to bow and kiss rings religious figures. I don't need any of that because that's not morality.
Right.
Morality is a code by which you conduct yourself.
And before we go to your calls, we do have one holding. I do want to give a shout out to the Freedom Community of New Hampshire, all of you. You know who you are. I saw your faces. I shook your hands. I hugged you. You hugged us. Everybody who showed up at part one of this hearing, the sentencing hearing, half of the courtroom was feds on their laptops and cell phones. The other half was us,
because
the Freedom Community.
Or this time we got there faster, so...
I don't know what happened, and I'm not asking any questions. I'm just very grateful that the main courtroom was packed with the Freedom Community of New Hampshire. I'm very grateful, and I want to say thank you to everybody who showed up today.
People decided to go in earlier instead of just waiting to be allowed or wait for Ian to go in, So instead of the feds filling up the whole right side of the courtroom, we had lots of people on that side and then the left side completely full. And it's not that there was even more people this time than last time. I would say that 9/11, his initial sentencing hearing, had more people, but not by a lot. I think there was like 80 people today and there was 100 people last time. It was really close, and I am so grateful for everybody who came out.
That's what I'm trying to get across is thank you to everybody. Like, I can't speak for Ian, but if I could, I think he would also be like, thank you guys so much for your support. So that's that. Let's go to, I believe this is Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, first of all, anybody who was there in the courtroom should read the district attorney's press release on the district court, the District of New Hampshire courthouse website.
Yeah, I did.
And Ian's Freeman sentenced to 8 years in prison for operating a Bitcoin money laundering scheme, Monday, October 2nd, 2023. Just notice all the differences between what this press release says and what you are actually observed in the courtroom, how they fail to mention that Ian was simply selling people Bitcoin, and that the people were being scammed and going along with the scam and everything. One of the things that people need to also consider, whenever you see warnings on money transfer businesses telling you watch out for these are some of the signs, you know, before you wire somebody some money, it's probably could be a scam.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, one of the red flags that isn't there is watch out if anybody told you to lie to us. You know, that, I mean, wake up.
That's true.
Wake up. If somebody is told you to lie to us, wake up out of your daydream that you met Prince Charming. Because Prince Charming isn't going to tell you to lie to us. Okay, so that's a wake up right there. It's absurd that they're punishing Ian for simply selling Bitcoin to people who chose to buy it.
Yeah.
It is. And, yeah.
But keep in mind, first of all, the judge mentioned being constrained by a ruling of the First Circuit Court of Appeals saying that Bitcoin is funds. And therefore, the District of New Hampshire Federal Court, U.S. Court for the District of New Hampshire, has to go along with that and tell the jury that the jurors that Bitcoin is funds. Because the higher court has already ruled that, and then it's going to go to the Supreme Court sooner or later, and the Supreme Court might not hear the case, or they might hear the case. We don't know how that's going to go.
So we know that there's no legislation on cryptocurrency, no legitimate legislation, even in the eyes of the, you know, the, what do we call it, the bureaucrats, the politicians, right, the lawmakers, right?
Surprise, this is funds, and therefore we're going to throw you in prison because you vote. Broke a law. You know what? Another one that they've been pulling, been known to pull, under the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, they're going after people who were born in the United States who are living in other countries.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they aren't filing federal income tax returns and paying federal income tax to the United States because they're not United States citizens anymore. They took the oath to Her Majesty the Queen. And now there's Canadian citizens, and under the statutes at the time, U.S. federal statutes, they lost their United States citizenship when they did that.
Yes.
Along comes the United States Supreme Court and says, well, that conflicts with the 14th Amendment, where it says that they're citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside because they were born in the United States, and overturned the federal statute on which these people were relying. And so guess what? You were United States citizens the whole time. How come you haven't been reporting your bank accounts?
So I want to go back for just a second, though, because we established that there's no legislation about Bitcoin. Tom, I don't know if you're...
It's Tom's phone. Ian was having me turn down his phone every time I talked to him.
Maybe he's just a little too close, or he's got something on in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, Ian like did some troubleshooting with him. Apparently,
Tom,
it's just his phone.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. We've been talking about the sentencing and the parts of it that are concerning to me right now, and what Tom was talking about is, or alluding to, there is no legislation about Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin?
Yep.
Bitcoin entrepreneurs.
Your representatives in Washington have not taken the time to define what Bitcoin is.
And
they don't mind throwing Ian in prison for 8 years, but they will not take the time to define the laws that surround Bitcoin. And at this point, the judiciary is trying to figure that out itself.
And trying to legislate. Legislating from the bench.
Right.
And my question is that Ian's crime supposedly started in like 2017, 2016. I don't remember exactly. Exactly what was he supposed to know about this then?
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, most of these rules that have come out, you know, around this, much later.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the point that I'm getting at. And you mentioned legislating from the bench. Now, I don't know what that means in legalese. I know what it means to me. That means like, oh, the court made a decision, and now every other court case is using that as precedent, and now that counts as law until it's overturned by the Supreme Court, or just it goes on, and now it is law de facto.
Exactly. It doesn't work the way you were taught that it works in high school, where there's a legislative branch, there's a judicial branch, and there's an executive branch. No, the judicial branch can also create laws de facto, like you said,
right.
And it's not right.
And so that's the concern that I have here, is that this is what's happening. In this case, at least, they have decided, and maybe they did it because of precedent in another case, which only strengthens the argument, they have decided that Bitcoin is funds, Bitcoin is money.
Actually, no, this is novel. This judge, Judge LaPlante, has decided this himself. There's not, he hasn't pointed to some court case where another judge said Bitcoin is funds. This is novel. He had to address this in Attorney Guerriero's
motion
to
like
dismiss on the EPA versus, sorry, I forget what it's called, doctrine, man, I can't remember what it's called. It's called Major Questions Doctrine. So the Major Questions Doctrine had been overturned, the EPA case had been overturned.
That
right. Used to make it to where agencies, three-letter agencies, can make laws basically from regulations, and then that got overturned. And so the judge had to answer the question of what does it actually fall under the Patriot Act laws that they're charging him under, and he, or is this a major question because it's never been asked before?
Right.
And he said, actually, no, funds is in the Patriot Act laws, and anybody could understand that Bitcoin would be a fund, and therefore I don't think that it's a major question, because even if when they wrote these laws in 2001, they didn't know what Bitcoin was, they knew what funds were, and now Bitcoin's funds to him, even though it...
So LaPlante made that assertion that wasn't based on previous case law?
Yeah. Exactly.
Even more legislating from the bench, right? Here's a judge who completely does not understand Bitcoin.
Right. He said that Bitcoin has three parties. You, the blockchain, a middleman, he said, and the person you're sending to. That's what he said. That's not true.
Yeah. And so he obviously doesn't understand the technology. They were also able to convince, and I think you mentioned this today to one of the cameras when we were outside after the thing, that Bitcoin does not get transmitted.
Yeah.
Right? That's not like it. Like, Bitcoin doesn't show up in my wallet, right? And then I send it somewhere else.
In the low IQ judge.
That's the way we talk about it, because this is how you talked about money originally.
Sure.
Right? Not, and so it makes it easier.
Money was a thing that existed in space.
Right. And
in many cases.
And money has a particular lingo to it, right? When you're talking about cash, you have a wallet, you keep it in your pocket, you have a number of bills in there, they're different denominations, or ones and fives and tens and twenties, or whatever it is, right? And so in order to make adoption easier for humans, they develop these things called wallets, right? They're not really wallets, they're pieces of software. And what these pieces of software do is just track the ownership, the current ownership of the Satoshis, right? And associates it with your wallet.
Right.
Whatever that wallet is. Now, when Mark and I agree to, I don't know, you know, you're selling me a, you know, used car, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, here's $500, and I send you $500 in some cryptocurrency, right?
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is once again blasting the judge in a state civil fraud trial.
And this rogue judge Trump hater. The only one that hates Trump more is his associate up there.
The Democratic New York Attorney General is accusing Trump and his family of inflating his net worth to get better deals from lenders and insurers. Millions of Americans are once again obligated to make student loan payments. This requirement was reinstated on Sunday. In June, the Supreme Court thwarted a policy aiming to forgive $20,000 in student debt for numerous borrowers. Expect an alert on your cell phone this Wednesday around 2:20 p.m. Eastern. That's when a nationwide test will activate everyone's phone. FEMA, in coordination with the FCC, is conducting this test to ensure these systems remain effective for warning the public about a national emergency. Dave Collins, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, Al, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, a special Monday night edition here on, well, October 2nd. I don't know if it's serendipity, if it's karma, if it's... you know, if you're a religious person, you know, is it God's work that Ian's sentencing trial part one was on 9/11, and then his sentencing part two was the day after Ross Ulbricht's beginning of his 11th year
in
prison, right? Like these two events coincide slightly around Ian's sentencing, and that makes me feel weird. Why? I don't understand why it makes me feel weird. Like, is it just because...
Synchromysticism?
Maybe. That's a good word.
I really like that word.
Yeah. I just can't help but feel like there's some... Either on purpose, right? Like the government's like, we'll schedule it on 9/11, so people will always associate Ian Freeman with 9/11.
I was telling Mark about this today, and also it wasn't just that. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
But also the jury started deliberating on the winter solstice.
Even more weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many holidays. At some point or another, it's going to, you know, cross up. Whatever.
I guess. Well, and, you know, the government keeps making all these things up. You know what I mean? 9/11, January 6th, right?
Yeah.
They keep making these either a false flag operation or they'll title something that it's not, right? Like January 6th, right? That's, you know, oh, it was a guided tour. of the Capitol. So
I can't help but think that Ian's trial was so close to Sam Bankman-Fried's arrest that there was no way he could get a fair trial. Plus the fact that Free Staters aren't exactly the most loved group in the state of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Then the judge pretending to be nice went and brought up Sam Bankman-Fried to the
jury. Totally did, yeah. Totally did. And but he did it in a way that he's like, I'm instructing you not to pay any attention.
Don't think about Sam Bankman-Fried. Right now,
this huge
I don't
story.
Want you to think about his big curly Jufro.
Yeah. And I don't want you to think about him in the news when you see him, because you will, because you're not sequestered at all. Right? Duh. Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Riley calling from New Hampshire. Riley, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, everybody. So, you know, today is a bit of a sad day for all of us in the Liberty community here in New Hampshire.
Very much.
You know, the last time Ian was put in the cage, I was not in New Hampshire, but this time I am. And, you know, it's sad for me to witness having a friend or a man that I consider to be a friend put in the cage. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. So, you know, Free Talk Live will go on, but you know, instead of looking at this as a tragedy, I'm sure Ian would want to see how he used this as a catalyst to make things happen in New Hampshire.
That's, so how do we? That is a good question. I think that these events have a way of sort of self-perpetuating. I'm not saying that we should do nothing, right? I think that, if anything, this decision, this trial, the verdict, and now the sentencing, does nothing but solidify the freedom movement here in New Hampshire. Everybody that's even loosely affiliated with anything freedom-oriented in New Hampshire knows about this case. People who aren't even libertarians know about this case, right? I think that Ian would want us to use this as much as possible to increase the outreach, to increase the number of people, you know, moving like here to New Hampshire for the liberty movement or achieving liberty in other ways. He would want us to use this information to grow other people's freedom.
It's true. That's what he would want.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure he would love to see how Free Talk Live changes. Maybe there might be some good changes for Free Talk Live in the future. You never know.
I don't think Free Talk Live can ever be better without Ian. But it will still go on.
I mean, never say never, right? Like, Ian is fantastic, and he's got, you know, this is his baby. Make no mistake about it. We're just sort of custodians now, right? If Ian doesn't have children, and this is his child, and so, you know, we're sort of foster parents for a while.
Yeah. The other thing is, Ian would want people to just continue on with the activism they're doing instead of stopping, giving up, feeling like defeated because of it. Like, for example, I'm going to the Hillsboro Courthouse tomorrow at 15 Antrim Road in Hillsboro, New Hampshire, for my friend Preston H. Now's. It's just an arraignment, but he is entertaining. You would want to go.
Yeah,
see
that guy's good. Everybody that I know that has seen his work has been like, that guy's great.
He's great. He has so many followers on YouTube that he just lives off of that. He doesn't have a 9-to-5 job.
Right? Yeah. It's not a lot of activists that can pay their bills with their activism.
Right.
Normally, you have to get arrested on purpose, right? You have to sort of antagonize some things. You have to know the law very well and then go ahead and turn that around on the law to sue them to, you know, make some money and, you know, gain some followers, that type of a thing. There's very few people who can do it full time and get away with it. So I applaud him on the work that he does. I've seen some of his videos. They're great. If you can help, please do.
Yep. It's Preston H. Now on YouTube, and his thing is tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the Hillsboro Court.
Riley, what else you want to talk about?
Well, I'm just glad to see that activism is still alive and well in New Hampshire. Let's keep it going.
Amen to that.
Thank
brother.
You, Riley.
Thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you soon. 603-283-6160 if you want to get in. We might have time for you. One of the things that I've been thinking about is the marshals that were there.
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
Way more than there was any other time I've been there. Now, I assume it's because of Jason and Footloose at sentencing part one. They got arrested for attempting to bring cameras in to the federal courthouse.
Yeah.
They did this on purpose, of course, because they want to challenge the ruling, and the only way for them to do that, you can't just go to some lawyers and be like, hey, I'd like to sue the government.
Yep.
For not allowing, you know, cameras, video, in federal courtrooms. You can't just start a lawsuit like that, apparently. Apparently you have to try to do the thing, get arrested, and then get into the system that way before you can get in front of a judge who can then, you know, they can present their evidence, they can present why it should be, how it's against the Constitution, et cetera, and so on. They can start jumping through the legalese battle, right, the second set of books, after the arrests happen. So they did that during sentencing part one. They showed up, they got arrested for trying to film inside a federal courthouse, and so there's a spinoff, if you will. If Free Talk Live is a drama, you know, then the spinoff is what's going to happen to these two guys in their courtroom challenge of video filming, because that happened at Ian's, you know, part one sentencing trial.
And I'd like to point out that this is sort of really important. The United States federal court system is the only court in America where you can't bring a camera.
Right.
I mean, this is almost 200-year-old technology, and somehow these people are still scared of the box.
All it does is make people more safe if you get to film your interactions with any dangerous terrorists like the federal government.
I watched Seth Abraham use racism to convict my best friend of a crime he didn't commit. And I can't do anything about it because there's not a camera to record it. And I am livid about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what happened so that you don't think I'm just using the racist thing. He pointed at a black man who happened to be from Nigeria. And he said, what was the statement?
Does
this look like a CEO to you?
No.
Now, here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you this. Are there black CEOs? Are there Nigerian CEOs? Do Nigerian black CEOs have chests? Because the man was without a shirt.
Right, yeah.
And the suggestion was, this black man with a Nigerian passport, any reasonable person would not have sold him Bitcoin. Well, here's a surprise for you. Ian's not a reasonable person. Ian's an unusual person, and he's the product of a public school system. There's no way he would ever think to suggest that a person couldn't be a CEO. Because he was black.
Or just something like being shirtless. Ian doesn't care about social
black
norms.
Black and shirtless, oh my God.
Ian does not care about social norms in the way everyone else does. Like, for example, when my dog is barking at a dog that we're passing, I get really embarrassed when he does it. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And when he does, I'm like, oh man, I want him to stop, because it's like, if he just calmed down or got close to the dog, they would be friends. But now that these people are judging me because my dog's barking, Ian doesn't get embarrassed about that. He's like, it's a dog. It's going to bark sometimes. He just doesn't get embarrassed at all. That's just one example. There are hundreds of thousands of examples since I've met Ian of times where I've been embarrassed about something and he just wasn't, or that I thought, oh, that's not appropriate, and he just is like, why? Who cares?
He just doesn't look at it that way. Yeah. I mean, he looks at the world differently. He's a different personality. And this is why I really hate the legal, what they call reasonable man standard.
Terrible.
Because what is a reasonable man? Were the people in the jury reasonable when they didn't use the law in a court of law as a method of determining whether or not Ian had broken the law? Yeah, no, they weren't. They were unreasonable.
Some of these people were requiring us to wear masks. I don't consider that reasonable. These people are obviously not Ian's peers.
Yeah. Let's go to some more of your calls and thoughts. Let's start with Cadieu. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey there. I noticed, I heard a few times, like, you know, Ian would want this, Ian would want that, so on and so forth. That's something sometimes you hear a lot, like when people die.
Yep.
So I just wanted to remind everyone about the good news.
Ian's risen?
He is alive.
He is alive.
Yeah, no, he is alive, and I believe you already heard from him today.
Yep.
Bonnie. And so, yeah, you know, status pending. He's still alive, and he will have, you know, some sort of influence. He'll be able to call us, and he'll be able to, you know, give me pointers on broadcasting and, you know, how to do stuff here in the studio.
I said this on the news today that I'm trying to keep it in perspective, like, not only just for myself, because I don't want to just walk around feeling bad, but for, like, my work I want to do, I'm trying to keep it in perspective. Ian's still alive. It's not like they put him to death. He didn't get 20 years. And I just think that whenever you go through something really bad like I'm going through right now, it is in some way a gift because you're being granted the perspective to now have more empathy for other people when they're suffering.
Could you?
Yes. So sending love to all you guys and shout out to Press NH Now.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Let's move on to, we've got David in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live. David in Georgia. David in Georgia going once.
Sorry about that.
There you are. All right, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Sorry about that. I saw Ian's sentencing on the news.bitcoin.com, actually.
Yeah.
I forgot it was today.
Thank you, Jamie Redmond.
I read an article.
Yeah, Jamie Redmond's a great writer over there. He's been doing great work over there for a long time, and I follow him.
And I just want to say that this is, it's a bad day, that's for sure. But as you said earlier in the show, I think that people are going to rally around Ian, people in prison that are with him are going to hear his philosophy and see that they are the ones that are hurt by the state. And I think you're going to get a lot of people convert to libertarianism through this. And just watch the, just make sure to watch the system, because Ian is alive right now and that's great, but Assange happened.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out.
Yeah.
He might be Assanged.
Assange is dead?
No, are you talking about Epstein?
Yeah, well, Assange is being starved and all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're still trying to extradite him.
I'm not going to live in that reality. So far, he's been in a pretty good prison, Merrimack.
At this moment in time, Ian called not too long ago, said he was sitting there waiting to be processed, and he was watching television.
I saw you on TV, Bonnie.
Right. He's like, I saw you on TV. He did. And then, you know, so at this point, we don't have much to worry about, and we don't have any evidence that they're going to do that to Ian. One thing that is the average person doesn't know is the Department of Justice and the Bureau of Prisons, they're not even siblings. They're like warring cousins. They really don't care anything about each other.
Step cousins.
Yeah. So.
Step cousins.
You know, what's happening to Assange? Terrible. There's no doubt about
it.
I don't know whether I think. I'm not scared of that happening to Ian.
From the U.S.
Not to say it couldn't.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
I don't want to diminish the thought process. Certainly we should keep an eye on how Ian's doing. But Ari is doing okay.
So
you know,
far.
Not great. She'd like to get some more visits. Go to ariodemezzo.com. If you don't know how to spell it, neither do I. Go to Google. It'll show it for you.
it's D-I-M-E-Z-Z-O.
Yep. Right.
Aria, A-R-I-A.
Yeah. And that'll show you how to write to her, send her books.
Yeah, you have to go to the Bureau of Prisons website to find out how to pay her a visit. I did so today because it's not on her website. I followed a link from her website that led me to the Bureau of Prisons. Then I went to, like, their menu and, like, figured out, okay, this is where it tells you how. So apparently, in true bureaucratic form, there's a form that you have to download. And you have to fill out part of it. The inmate, in this case, Aria, has to fill out the other part of it. So somehow you got to download it, fill it out, figure out how to get it to her. They claim to give you instructions on the form. I didn't scrutinize the form because I didn't download it. I just saw the link for it. And then you have to send it in. Then Aria has to get it, fill out her form, and then somehow get that to the officials in the Bureau of Prisons. And then they will run a background check on you, or may, apparently, yeah, according to their verbiage, including the NCIC, which is basically the same background check you would get for, like, an employer, right? Somebody who requires you to have, like, no felonies or stuff like that before you can get a job. So, you know, if you want to put yourself in that position, please do. Aria could use the visitors. You know, I don't know how to communicate with her in advance for any of that. It seems like a completely arduous process to go through. So basically I'm saying the prison doesn't make it easy for these people to have visitors. If you can achieve the status of approved, then you can go and visit during approved visitors' hours, of course.
Yeah, I wish I could go. I am terrified of this background check. You know.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it would go well for me.
Yeah. I like to go visit somebody, really? To just, you know, say hello, right? You have to agree to be monitored and all that kind of stuff.
Any chance they get to run your warrants, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt for a second they'll approve you, and then if you've got warrants, and then just
when you're there,
nab you when you're there.
Yeah, it's like bait, right? Waiting for the ants.
And as a guy that the FBI just very recently was trying to entrap, you know, trying to grab a hold of, yeah, it makes me really nervous. You know, ultimately they did serve me a subpoena when I was getting off of a plane, but, you know, I don't know what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe in anywhere that the Boston field office of the FBI has control.
Do you think that it's bad if I owe money for going through tolls in Massachusetts?
I don't think so.
They're not going to try to get me to pay them when I get there?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I don't think so. But, you know, bureaucrats, when they want to, they're going to attack you, right? And the best that anybody can do is mitigate the damage. You are going to get damaged when these bureaucrats attack you. There's no question about that. Even if you go to court and you win, you've been punished for that entire duration,
mm-hmm,
right? You've spent money, you've spent hours, you've spent time, you've probably hired a lawyer or two, right? You've done all these things that you're never going to recoup.
And nowadays they punish you before you're even found guilty of anything, so
yep,
you will get actual punishment on the way to you.
Yeah, when was the raid?
March the 21st, 2021.
March 16th.
March 16th.
March
16th, 2021. And it's now October of 23.
Yeah.
So more than 2 years, right, that Ian has been subjected to house arrest, ankle monitor, his PC and his phone, you know, with bureaucratic spy software on it. Not even, I mean, the overt kind, not the secret kind. We all know that they have backdoors into Apple and Android for spying purposes. But this is overt, where, like, all of your stuff is monitored.
Screenshotted.
And you're aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disallowed from going to the Talkers thing where he won an award.
Couldn't even go and accept his own award.
Yeah. A lifetime achievement award, essentially.
Yeah.
In the radio business, the most exclusive award in the radio business. This wasn't just some kind of way for him to get out of the state of New Hampshire.
Right.
To what? Go to Long Island?
Right, yeah. Go hang out with a bunch of radio people.
Right. This was to receive a legitimate award, and they wouldn't let him go.
I mean, like, even it's always a punishment when you're not allowed to leave the state that you're in, even if, like, Ian never wants to live anywhere else. Like, he couldn't go visit his parents and go see his parents because maybe they're sad that he might go to jail for the next 8 years and they're in their 70s. He couldn't go visit my parents. My parents were very nice and drove all the way up here to visit us so they could meet Ian in real life.
Nice.
I mean, it's a punishment when you're told you're not allowed to do something that you have every right to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who knows when Ian would go see his parents otherwise, but this kind of created a artificial urgency to do so, and he couldn't.
Yeah, and then, you know, so let's say you get involved with the law somehow, you got to go to court, you're punished, you know, before that happens, you're punished during, right, because of the expense and the time and all that kind of stuff. And let's just say you win, right? Well, now you're scarred.
Yeah.
Right? Because you had to go through that process.
Oh, don't forget you paid for the lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
or lawyers, depending on how many you had right. to hire to, you know, and retain to, you know, figure out how to fight your case.
I don't know how much was spent in legal fees for this thing, but I can tell you that it was six figures.
Well,
many, like, mid six figures.
And you got to think about what you're going up against, too. Not many people can muster a defense when it comes to the federal government.
Sure.
Because, not because there aren't people that don't have access to money, or, you know, people who don't have money can't, like, put up a GoFundMe and start raising money for their stuff. But because the federal government has unlimited labor, time, and money.
Sure.
Because they make it all.
The court system treats them fairly. The prosecution, it shouldn't be fair. Because the prosecution's doing a really good job of convicting people. Something like 80% of people are convicted in court.
Wow.
In federal court. And only, well, maybe 1% of charges make it to federal court, which means that the rest of them are deposed in whatever manner the prosecutor wants to depose of them. The prosecutor wins 99% of the time, and then 80% of that 1%. That's how unfair this is.
That's a lot.
It is. Ian had to know he was going to win when he went lose when he went up on this, but
any given Sunday, you say there's a chance.
There's a chance,
right?
Well, who won?
Oh man,
of the Crypto Six, the closest I'd say to a winner was Rich Paul. That guy's the luckiest hobo
I've
ever met.
The grandmother? I'm not sure I want to.
Yeah, I shouldn't say anything.
Yep.
But the grandmother, I think she won.
Yeah, somehow Rich Paul got a pretty good one. Plea deal, I guess. Not that I think it's like, I don't know, the best thing in the world or anything.
Yeah. I mean, no one won, right? And that's what happens when bureaucrats attack. No one wins.
If you think about even Matt Roach, who was Ian's roommate, he was thrown in the back of a cop car and questioned and all kinds of stuff.
Told
like
he had to take his guns and put them in storage, pay for it. I mean, even my dog. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. My dog is literally scarred from people breaking into his house and taking Ian away from us, and he's not the same anymore.
Yep. He's got canine PTSD.
And he's not going to be happy about Ian never coming home. He's not really, he doesn't notice anything yet, maybe, but, I mean, he obviously notices Ian isn't here, but he's going to start being really upset because we always joke, he wants equilibrium. Like, he wants to sit in between us. He wants both of our attention. He's going to notice after a couple days.
Yeah. All right, well, we're just about out of time. Thank you for listening to this special edition on Monday night of Free Talk Live, those of you tuning in.
Sorry, Ernie, but we'll have you on next week.
Yeah, and we'll get your show for this week posted so people can download it and listen to it, you know, not on the radio. So check out Free Talk Live for that. Thanks, everybody, and peace. We'll see you next time.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.